Ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all of you. A very warm welcome to all of you to our first and actually the launch of our National Women in Mining National Day, as we are now calling it. We're calling it the first National Day of Women in Mining. We're going to start the meeting with a quick safety share. We expect, obviously, all our media colleagues know the exits of the venue that they're in, the multiple exits in case they need to exit from the building. We hope that all of you know where the fire extinguishers are, and that you're following all the right safety protocols on preventing the spread of COVID-19. Social distancing, wearing of masks, washing of hands on a regular basis for more than 20 seconds, or the use of hand sanitizers if necessary, and avoiding crowds, etc. That's the safety share, ladies and gentlemen. And before I introduce the team of people from the Minerals Council that are here, I'd also like to introduce something that we're going to be doing at every single one of our meetings in the Minerals Council going forward, and that is including a gender and diversity share. And I'd like to share with you today that our gender and diversity share today is the launch of our National Day of Women in Mining. And I think it's a really historic occasion, historic moment for the mining sector to continue demonstrating its leadership role in helping how we transform the industry, not into a safer industry, not into a transformed industry, but also into an industry which gets gender onto the agenda of all our company members, government, and all other business associations operating in the country. So with those few words, I'd like to just say our team today, we welcome Nolita. She is one of my office bearers, vice presidents. She is also one of our, she is our chairperson of our internal Women in Mining Leadership Forum, a forum that's just been established to drive the agenda of getting gender onto the agenda. We've got Neil Fronman, who's also joining us as our vice president, Minerals Council, but also one of our champions of women in mining in terms of what we're trying to do from a Minerals Council perspective. We've got Dr. Tatula Balfour, who is our internal champion. She helps play a significant role in the internal side and operations of the organization, driving this agenda. And just a very happy birthday today to Tatula, wishing you a great one. I think this is going to be a really memorable day for you, Tatula. And then we've got Charmaine from our communications front, who's played such a key role. We've got Rakshana, who's also been working behind the scenes, just to identify some of the people that are really helping this to happen. And then obviously Charmaine and her team. So good afternoon to all of you. Thank you for joining us today as we launch the first National Day of Women in Mining. The report on progress on the Minerals Council Women in Mining strategy, which we have agreed at the board, et cetera, et cetera. A workshop-style launch will take place immediately after this briefing at 1500 hours. And the objective of that will be to take everyone through the particular process of what we're trying to achieve. It'll include member companies. It'll include collaboration and input from the DMRE, organized labor, and critical partners, namely Women in Mining South Africa and the South African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy, the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy, and members of the media are most welcome to join that session at 3:30 at the same time. But given that it's a Friday afternoon, we thought it'd be better to hold a briefing before the launch, as it'd be tough to also hold a briefing from 16:30 onwards. I don't think you would see us in a favorable light if we did it beyond sort of beyond 4:30 this afternoon. We've asked you to join us today as we talk through the details of the Women in Mining strategy, the thinking behind it, of our hopes for the way forward. And most importantly, we're observing as an industry our first National Day of Women in Mining, pretty much to spur the processes within the Minerals Council leadership. That's really one of the primary objectives of this National Day. And we're hoping that all our members in their mining company boardrooms, within the companies themselves and their management teams, we'll put the advancement of women firmly on the agenda. We want to get gender onto the agenda. Every year, the industry will come together in August to take stock of progress. We're still kind of like a little bit concerned about this concept of having just 1 month as a woman's month. It should be 12 months of the year. The Minerals Council has also adopted a similar approach to this National Woman in Mining Day to that of what we've been doing in the safety and health side, which is considered also one of our fundamental priorities, also to make women in mining one of our key priorities. So I've introduced Nolita. I've introduced Neil. So Nolita is in a capacity as Vice President of Minerals Council and Chair of the Women in Mining Leadership Forum. Neil is here in his capacity as obviously Vice President and also Woman in Mining Champion. And Dr. Balfour, that's Tutula, as we call her, who's been one of our real champions during this COVID-19 period, who's also our internal Woman in Mining task team champion from the Minerals Council side. For the industry to meet the bold and ambitious targets that we have set will require not just real commitments from senior executives, but the inculcation of this change culture across all levels of our member companies. The Minerals Council Women in Mining Leadership Forum, the most high-level structure under the board, so it is a principal-level committee, has representatives of CEOs and executives from 16 different mining companies. And we insisted that all those representatives are senior reps, that two of the leaders of South Africa's largest mining companies, both Mineral Council office bearers, have agreed to lead this initiative is testimony to the influence we've placed on this issue. In addition, a senior woman in mining task team remains in place, which will do the technical work to support the Women in Mining Leadership Forum. And that's to ensure that the policies and intentions adopted at the board level can actually be implemented. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2019, women were only 12% of the industry. They made up 17% of top management, 17% of senior management, 24% of professionally qualified employees, and 18% of skilled and technical employees. And although this is almost a doubling of the number since 2008, it's not acceptable overall in our view. The initiative we are launching today is intended as a marker, a real line in the sand. We're not going to wait for change to happen. We're going to drive it intensively and with real commitment across the Minerals Council and its all its member companies. We hope that non-members and other business associations in the country more broadly will also join us to make sure that we take this very important process forward of women in mining and obviously of ensuring that we get women on the agenda of all businesses in South Africa. Without further ado, I'd like to hand across to my Vice President and the Chair of the Minerals Council Women in Mining Leadership Forum, Nolita Fakodi. And Nolita, if I can hand over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger, and good afternoon, colleagues. I've got background, so I just need to switch off one of these. Let me try again. Good afternoon, and thank you. Good afternoon, colleagues, and thank you, Roger, very much for those words of introduction. And I would like to also give a special good afternoon to my co-champion, whom I'm actually thinking of as my co-chairman of this process, Neil Froneman, because he's a real ally when it comes to this particular initiative. Tutula, who has been very supportive during the initial upfront work that we've done, I would like to say also thank you to you and happy birthday as well. We do know that mining plays a critical role in South Africa's economy. In 2019, the industry contributed 23.3 billion in taxes, actually 24.3 billion in taxes, and almost 361 billion rands to our GDP. It accounted for around 450,000 direct jobs and countless more downstream ones. We see it as an industry with a vast future potential. And I know that Roger has been speaking to members of the media about some of the work that we have been doing with WUSA, as well as Business for South Africa, in driving the revitalization of the South African economy. And mining is one of the key industries to contribute in this regard. But this potential is only going to be realized if we take real, meaningful action to make it a truly diverse and inclusive industry. By utilizing every human resource capacity we have in the country, men and women, black and white. This means, as Roger has indicated, that we need to walk the talk as we drive this imperative from the top and throughout our industry. There are moral and regulatory imperatives to advancing women in mining. But there's even a more compelling point. No economy can continue to thrive if it only uses half of its population, and mining industry is included in that. When we bring in people with different skills and abilities to make a positive contribution, we get the best outcomes for industry and for the South African economy. We need to make the industry more attractive to women. And the fact that the vast majority of women graduating from mining engineering faculties, up to 50% of some of these graduating classes, still do not fit through into mining industry is incredibly worrying. It says to me that these mainly young women trained for our industry, but once they have experienced the realities of it, they look for any other career option elsewhere where they can exercise their considerable talents. It means we do not have the incoming cohorts of women who, given support, time, and mentoring, can become part of our leadership pipeline and thus increasing the diversity of our talent pipeline. It also means we simply will never have enough women in the industry. And this becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and that will be a huge loss for all of us. This reinforces negative stereotypes as well. A wide range of global studies show that the more diverse and inclusive a company is, the more successful it is likely to be in terms of productivity, workplace culture, safety, health, as well as profitability. Quite simply, companies that are more diverse are more profitable. We also know that businesses with more women employees are also likely to be more resilient during times of crisis and more collaborative as they work to reach their targets. It is only when we as leaders create a positive culture that drives wide-ranging changes in attitudes regarding gender equality that women will take up their rightful place in the mining industry. Bullying, harassment, and victimization are some of the negative cultural experiences that most women still face in the industry. And this can only be changed by leaders committing to a different culture and new ways of working. This is a critical moment, one where we can identify opportunities and embed a commitment to work towards ambitious targets as we reset and define the workplace culture post-COVID. At a time when we see a new normal in every aspect of our lives, there may never be a better time to challenge the status quo that exists in society as a whole and in our industry. We have seen the impact of COVID-19 disproportionately affecting women. Their jobs are typically more precarious than men's, and they tend to assume the greater burden of family duties. A recent study has shown also that women globally are almost twice as likely to lose their jobs during this pandemic than men. And in South Africa, we would suggest that their roles are even more vulnerable. But herein lies a great opportunity too. In post-COVID-19 environment, we will be seeing workplaces changing to accommodate greater flexibility, social distancing, and increased modernization. These present opportunities for increasing workplace diversity. Tutula will be talking about the details of this strategy that we all have been working on for the last 8 months. But I want to highlight the Mineral Council's targets for women in mining. These go above and beyond what is laid out in the current iteration of the mining charter. They are stretch targets that we will hold ourselves and our members accountable to. We want to ensure that we at least double the percentage of women in mining by 2025 and ultimately work towards 30 to 40% of the industry being women and 50% of management over the next decade being women. We have an opportunity to open the mining industry to many women so that the industry can thrive into the future. Within areas like process engineering, legal specialists, environmental specialists, geologists, finance, truck drivers, artisan minings, and many other areas, therein lie opportunities. And with the commitments that we're making today, I don't doubt that this is achievable. Thank you very much, and back to you, Roger. I guess it's back to Tutula.
I'm going to hand across to Tutula. Thanks. I was one of the characteristics of dealing with the COVID-19 crisis is trying to find where the mute button on and off is. So, to the birthday lady, Tutula, across to you, Nolita. Thanks for that, and back to Tutula. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roger, Chair. And I'd also like to acknowledge our co-champions, Nolita Fakude and Neil Froneman. We really appreciate them championing the cause for women in mining. As Nolita indicated, I'll be giving you a presentation. And the intention of the presentation is to guide you through the highlights of the Women in Mining strategy. And the goal will be enhancing the representation and development of women in the South African mining industry as a whole. That is the goal of our strategy. So this journey, it kicked off in March of this year with the launch of our gender-based violence program and a white paper on women in mining. We now have a strategy and a roadmap towards achieving what are ambitious targets, which have just been mentioned by Nolita. And we're looking to streamline member companies' gender diversity and inclusion strategies and the implementation efforts towards those strategies. You might ask why we need to have a women in mining strategy. And here I would like to say that firstly, the benefits of diversity are material and proven. And those have been, again, Nolita mentioned them very clearly. We also need to know what diversity is a global and a South African priority, and acceleration of this is crucial. Number three, improving the workplace diversity is also an ethical imperative. And lastly, we know that diversity alone is not enough. It's inclusion that unlocks value. There's no point in having more women at the table if their voices are still not heard. So as much as it is about including women or it is about having more women, the key thing is they should feel included and therefore participate in what the company is doing for them to achieve their maximum potential. We are working towards 6 priority initiatives as an industry. The first is the development of a women in mining organizational structure, which we have achieved already. The second is having a dynamic women in mining communication strategy, which will be unfolding as the months go by. We also would like to celebrate the women in mining COVID-19 heroes. And fourthly, we would like to gain a commitment from member companies to deliver on our 7 foundational measures that I will sort of outline to you just now. Those are quite critical because it's only through our members really that we will achieve what we want to do as the Minerals Council on Women in Mining, because it's the companies that do have employ those women on the ground. And so the 7 foundational measures that our companies will be implementing are very critical. We'll also be emphasizing the defining role of women in mining's COVID-19 response. As you have heard, women are quite disproportionately affected by the disease, and they are also not just the disease itself affecting women, but also in terms of jobs. It's women who have lost those jobs. So, even during the lockdown, we all know how most women were complaining about having a double job, where they were now working from home, but also working at home. And lastly, the integration of inclusion best practices in mining modernization is also one of our priorities, because we believe that modernization is actually going to free up the space for women to participate fully in the industry, as modernization means that the operations are not as based on physical capacity as is the case currently. And it's therefore these priority initiatives that are in turn supported by the 7 foundational measures that I talked to you about. And I would like to go through these, and our member companies are expected to be looking at these very closely in terms of implementation over the next months. The first of these, and most important for us and the country, is that the companies need to reaffirm zero tolerance for gender-based violence through our Stop Abuse of Women campaign, and to ensure that they have the reporting and other mechanisms in place to deal with this. So it's not important to talk about we've got this in place. We also want to see how there is reporting on gender-based violence. The second is we need to ensure, that is the companies need to ensure, that gender diversity and inclusion policies have been developed and are being implemented in their companies. The third is, because we can't manage what we don't measure, then the companies will need to provide reporting systems for gender diversity issues. And so we will be monitoring how companies do have these systems in place for monitoring and how they are progressing on these, as much as the companies will be monitoring themselves. The fourth founding principle is that companies will need to initiate unconscious behavior training to transform the cultures of their organizations. We all know that the mining industry has been without, or it was founded to be excluding women, and it is only in the 1990s that women were even allowed to work underground in our mining industry. Therefore, we have got very entrenched cultures which are not welcoming to women, and these are the unconscious biases that companies would need to ensure that there is training so that everyone can overcome the biases that they have against women. The fifth principle is that companies would need to develop and deploy ongoing company-wide pulse check surveys. This is to ensure that people, the company is in touch with how people feel about the transformation, which is about the inclusion of women. Sixth, we need to build an inclusive physical environment. And this is very important. Nolita did touch in our briefing on how the modernization of the industry will play a very strong supporting role in this, as it also means getting the basics right. We believe that these things I'm talking about now are very basic, and all companies need to have had these in place, which is things like safe, separate changing and toilet facilities, and better lighting across operations to ensure that women are and actually do feel safe in the workplace. So these for us are non-negotiable, and we expect that most of our companies by now would have attended to these things so that our women feel safe at the workplace. And finally, we need to ensure that PPE, which is personal protective equipment, is especially designed for women, is available to them, and it is always available. This has been an issue in the past where, as you know, colleagues, we are not built the same in the same in the form of our shape and form, and therefore there is PPE which is more comfortable for women, and it is something that we promote and we expect companies to ensure is available widely to all of its employees. We've also made sure that our member companies have a clear process through which they can define their own women in mining strategies. First, a diagnosis of the company's current situation, then the evidence-based prioritization of focus areas, and finally the selection of initiatives from which to build an action plan. As I have said before, really, this is work which is to be done at a company level, and therefore we need to ensure that it is executed. All of these things are being executed by our companies. We have developed an infographic that does provide an overview of this strategy and is available on our website, and we invite you therefore to look it up and to familiarize yourselves with it. Thank you very much.
Tutula, thanks very much. And that was absolutely spot on. Appreciated. And if I can hand over to Neil Frontman now. Neil, across to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. And Nolita and Tutula, thank you as well. And let me just state up front, I'm very happy to partner with you and the team on this initiative. I think I need to make it clear why I chose to volunteer for this role. I think it should be well known that that I wasn't approached and asked to do it. I actually volunteered to do it. And I'm a father of two professional daughters, and I've experienced firsthand the challenges they've had in their career. And it's some of them are very subtle challenges, but I do understand the difficulties of I think women in mining, and therefore I was very happy to step up to the plate to take on this role. So I take the championing of women in mining very seriously, and I think it's critical for the future of the industry as well. I'm going to tell you why. Tutula spoke of the seven foundational measures that we expect our member companies to take on, and one of those aspects was the unconscious bias that resides within the industry because of its history. So the role of men in this initiative is critically important as well. And we cannot push it one side and let our women colleagues run with it, spout platitudes and shrug our shoulders if change doesn't come and sit on the sidelines and say, we told you so. So often, not always, but often men are stumbling blocks to the success of initiatives like this. And I intend to make sure that We will not be stumbling blocks, and if anything, we'll enhance the success of this initiative. And what happens is, as men, we like the idea at a general level, but we don't make make any effort to ease the way. We allow our female colleagues to take the lead, to do the heavy lifting, and we raise an eyebrow when they encounter challenges. And as senior executives, and for now we are in the majority, and therefore we can make the difference. We can be enablers and champions, or we can sit back and be gatekeepers and create roadblocks. And clearly that's not what we're going to do. I want to urge all the mining industry leaders and employees not to forget the very real hardships faced by women in mining and in communities every day, especially as a result of gender-based violence. None of us should be bystanders. We must report and stop gender-based violence and harassment, both at work and at home. So with that, I call on the leaders of our industry, in companies, within organized labor, and within the regulator, to lead this change for the betterment of our industry and our society. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Nolita. Thank you. Tutula, thanks very much. And as mentioned to you right at the beginning of the program, we are starting every single one of our meetings in the Minerals Council now with a gender and diversity share. And that's a reflection on the continued importance of women in mining, the changes that are being faced, the challenges that are being faced, and the successes that are being achieved. And this step will make sure that we really get gender onto the agenda. So colleagues, thanks for joining us. Charmaine, you're going to help direct questions to us, and we'll try and do our best to answer them. Back to you.
Great. Thank you, Roger. I wondered if anyone has any questions, could you raise your hands? Or if you're not able to do that, just come onto video, or else just shout out loud. And I'm going to try and take a few questions, hopefully, if you can give them to me, and then we can direct it to our panel. David, if you wouldn't mind starting.
Yeah, thanks. Neil, I said Neil Freideman, it's a really interesting words there. Can you just maybe share some short-term targets that you've got in place at your particular company in terms of just changing those attitudes and beliefs that allow for inclusion?
Charmaine, do you want me to pick that up now?
See if there's any others yet. None at the moment. So yes, Neil, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so David, we have, with any specific initiative like this, you have to establish structure, in my view. This is a project, and, you know, a project like this requires you to understand what those biases are. So there needs to be surveys. A structure like this would look at putting in the right sort of employment practices. Obviously, many of the initiatives on making it more comfortable for women and so on. So the very first thing we've done is established dedicated capacity with a leadership team similar to the makeup of the team you see created at the Minerals Council to actually develop these plans and address these cultural interventions. This is not one thing where you issue an instruction and that unconscious bias changes. So a very similar process, dedicated capacity, and that process is underway. It's very much a cultural type intervention. On top of that, I think our targets are very similar to the Minerals Council targets. We currently reside at about 13% of women in mining within our organization. We would hope to double that by 2025 and then, in a decade, achieve the 40-50% type targets. We're very mindful within our own organization of the difficulties, or the larger challenges with a labor-intensive, narrow reef type of organization. So David, at a high level, that's what we are doing. And, I suppose the biases, really reside around the physical effort required in some of the working areas. But there are many other working areas where women can probably do the job better than men, especially as operators. That's how we think about it. Thanks, David.
So, Charmaine, can I just also just ask, Neil, thanks so much. Can I also get perhaps just some of the data points on diversity equals performance in terms of, you know, of companies? I no doubt believe that, but it would be interesting to get some ideas to, you know, where the data is to support that claim.
Certainly, if I can answer that, David, I mean, certainly a lot of work was done in the research, and we absolutely can get that to you. I'm going to now take a question from Danae. She's posted it in the chat, and that is, why did you wait for the launch of the initiative till now? Why has it taken so long? Roger and Tula, perhaps you would like to talk about that?
Well, I think it'd be great if Tula talks about it, but I think, if you look at the journey that the Minerals Council has been under over the course of the last 5 years, we've rebranded the organization. We've had a huge focus on helping the sector deal with a multiplicity of legacy issues. We've seen ongoing positive strides in the way that the industry is transformed. We've had a significant improvement in our safety record, and I guess there's a time and a place where the leaders come together and say, right, well, this is the next part of the journey. And I think some might say, yes, this is a, why is it so late in the day? This is not late in the day. This is about the future. We're building the future right here and now. Even in the Minerals Council side, we've got more than 40% of our people operating within the Minerals Council in my team are very capable ladies who are making a massive contribution to what we're doing. But this is really about inculcating and getting this on the agenda. Every single company dedicating expertise, resources at a board level to help champion and drive this particular process, and just watch the space. So I certainly am not shy about saying that I think the time and the place is right. But let me ask Tutula if she wants to add to that. It's been an 18-month process just through the discussions that have taken place, the development of the strategy, et cetera, et cetera. Because obviously Minerals Council, one thing that we do is we always do our homework properly first before we do something. And this has been one of the areas where we've done a lot of work. So Tutula, your view on that?
Thanks, Roger. I think we mustn't think that this is the first time something is being done on women in mining. We represent members, and there is a lot that members have been doing on women in mining. And we actually also have a number of forums on women in mining. So what had not happened was the formalization of a structure within Minerals Council to coordinate our efforts as a mining industry. Even at Mine Health and Safety Council, for instance, there's a lot that has already been done, you know, on the issues of PPE, on gender-based violence. But this was in the safety, health and safety space. And so it's now this year that we decided we actually, as the whole Minerals Council, need to coordinate, pull together, and companies learn from each other, because as I said, there is a lot that most companies are doing on women in mining. But we just want again to make sure that there is coordination of what they are doing, and that there is increased learning, because people might be doing good things where they are, but, you know, the learning from each other does not happen. And through this, it means companies will be able to learn quickly, take lessons from the others, and then they are able to actually move far more quickly on women in mining and achieving their targets. Thank you.
Thanks, Katila. I did see that Neil had his hand up. Neil, is that still there, or?
I think it was Nolita.
Nolita.
It was my hand as much as Neil is my co-champion on the Office Bearers. We also happen to share initials, NF, so I understand how you got that one. Charmaine, I wanted to add on what Tutula was saying, because as a business association where we've got members who come from diverse organizations, it's important that we consolidate our efforts and initiatives where we believe that an issue is cutting across the spectrum. And as she has indicated, with best practices that we can share with each other, it's important that we do that. But more importantly, as a peer group, this is also a platform for us to be able to set up standards that we can hold each other accountable to. And it's an agenda that even last year, when the Minerals Council launched the Stop Abuse campaign, it started the thinking to say we need a much more CEO-led initiative rather than the initiatives that have been running, obviously, separately outside of a consolidated approach.
You still on mute, Charmaine?
The man of my life. Thank you, Roger. David, thanks, Nolita. David Mackay, do you have a question?
Oh, I think my hand's still up, but I actually do have a question, so that's okay.
Good, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask Nolita, as a former board member of Anglo-American PLC, could you just bring some of your international perspective about how, you know, South Africa has progressed on this compared to, you know, the international arena? And are there any efforts to kind of benchmark ourselves against women in mining chapters, you know, in other areas, for example, the UK?
Thanks, David, for that question. So we do see globally that there is a move towards setting targets for women in business broadly, in terms of board representation and also senior executive positions. And the UK had actually adopted those formally about 3-4 years ago. And there's a 30% target that has been set for the UK for women representation at senior executive level. And in fact, one of our former non-executive director at Anglo-American PLC, Sir Philip, was actually in charge of one of the head commissioners for the UK in leading that particular study. However, we also see that in other jurisdictions like South America, Australia, and also in the US, the whole issue of saying women across the spectrum, not only in so-called financial services or soft industries, but also in mining, is a movement that is being looked at, and our peers are setting targets, and most companies that I know of globally have set up targets of between 30% and 40% for the next 10 years in terms of women representation. So there is definitely more commitment to setting targets and also monitoring those targets is a hard commitment from organizations.
Colleagues, are there any further questions? There don't seem to be any further questions, Roger, Nolita, Neil, and Tula. Would any of you like to make any closing comments? And then we'll let everyone go for the rest of their Friday afternoon.
Nolita, do you want to say anything up front as a closing remark, sorry?
Yeah. Thanks a lot for that. I think it's important that we all accept that the whole issue around setting targets has got to be underpinned by a leadership commitment and culture to deliver to those targets. Otherwise, as we have seen and experienced, those targets become meaningful, meaningless, in fact, because you still have a culture in the environment where you are not able to retain or attract women within the industry. So the whole process that Neil was referring to of saying even within his own organization, setting up structures that will create an enabling environment for women to thrive and also to live to their full potential is one of the most important building blocks that we need to set up. And obviously the tone at the top has got to be set around that commitment. So thank you very much.
Nolita, thank you so much. Neil, any quick closing comment from your side?
Roger, no. Just, I can only just reinforce that men have a critical role to play in this. So this is not just about women. It's about men stepping up to the plate. Thank you.
Corporate change. Absolutely, Neil. Tutula, can I ask you for any concluding comments?
Very little, Roger. Just to say we do look forward to the implementation of the strategy by our companies and to be working with them. Thank you.
And we'll keep everyone in the loop. Tutula, thanks for that. So I think, colleagues, I think Nolita captured it perfectly. She said it a lot better than I did. You inculcate a culture of change, and it starts from the tone at the top. And this is what we're trying to do. And I think the commitment that's been given to this through the Minerals Council board, through the office bearers, and just through the leadership team that are participating is testament to the fact that we're going to make a real change, real difference for women in mining as we go forward. So thanks for your attention. We look forward to reporting progress to you as we progress. And the launch will take place formally in 11 minutes, Charmaine. So I'm just watching the clock. Thanks to all of you, and we can step off the line. Charmaine, any other concluding comments from your side?
No, not at all. If anyone's got any questions, let us know. The information is up on our website, and we'd be very happy to facilitate any direct discussions. So thanks again for joining us, especially on a Friday afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Be safe.
Thanks, Charmaine. Cheers.
Thanks, Charmaine. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Nolita. Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Charmaine. And thanks to Tula.